Hey, it's Mark Yeagy, wealth architect, author, and founder of Light Circle. Wealth isn't just about money, it's about balanced abundance in your health, your wealth, your relationships, and your soul. Let's take your life to the next level and build your dreams into reality. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome back to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Glad you are here. And we have a returning guest today who was actually in episode 92 just a few months ago. And, you know, this we thought we'd bring him back and have a really interesting discussion, hopefully, about what's going on in the gold market. He is the president of the American Gold Exchange, 43 years of experience in the industry. He's got an impeccable national reputation, and he does a lot of business in the gold business, which I know is very interesting for a lot of us because gold is an inflation hedge. It's also an investment. It's also a store of value. We'll get into all that kind of stuff when we get into talking with this gentleman. He's actually flawlessly overseen transaction approaching $2 billion, and he's looking forward to his next $1 billion or $2 billion. Who wouldn't be? Please, let's welcome Dana Samuelson. Dana, how are you?
I'm great, Mark. Thanks for having me back. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Great to see you. You know, we really went deep. And so if you want to know, like, guys, if you're listening, girls, if you're listening, watching, if you really want to know about gold, go back to episode 92 of the Wealth Architect Podcast. It's on our website, wealtharchitectpodcast.com, on the internet, on YouTube. It's all over the place. We did a really deep dive about the history of gold, the gold standard. We talked about a lot of things about Fort Knox and how much gold is in there. That is a really good primer for what we're talking about, I think, today. And that is, you could tell me more than I know, but I think gold is at like a record high or really close, right, Dana? Tell us.
Yeah, gold just hit a record high at just a few dollars under 2,200 per ounce. It went on a real tear from under resistance at about 2,075, 2,090 to 2,200, basically on a bullet from 2,030 to 2,200 over about 7 day stretch. We're in a mild corrective phase now, and gold's holding most of those gains. So this has been a real solid rally higher. Driven by, you know, falling treasury yields and a falling dollar, which gold tends to trade inversely to those. You know, we've got macro events also. The war in the Middle East in Israel against Hamas continues. You know, Vladimir Putin just got reelected, quote unquote, to a new 6-year term.
Oh, come on. That's a real election.
Yeah. So, the point is, there's some international strife that's helping to buoy the price too, but this rally has been really solid, and it doesn't look like a speculator's playing the contracts and on the COMEX exchange, you know, who can tend to whipsaw the market higher and then lower again. So I'm really feeling pretty comfortable about this rally now, and the price at around, you know, $21.50 as we tape this per ounce.
So. So you're saying basically this is not just a little speculative bounce or a bounce because Bitcoin's going up, but it's a bounce that you think or feel, and we don't know. We know we're not Nostradamus here, but we feel here that that it's here to stay. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I feel pretty comfortable so far. We could be getting a little bit of the wealth effect from the big Bitcoin run. That's very possible. Yeah. So who knows? It's really hard to say because there's no, you know, real material reason that we know of. It could be Chinese buying. You know, who knows? You know, the Chinese central government's been buying a ton of, literally tons of gold, and they could be supporting this market more than we realize at this point in time.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And that's something I wanted to talk with you about is, what about these nation states that are potentially hoarding gold? There's rumors that certainly China's doing it, even the US potentially, but Japan, Russia, you know, is there anything to that? And if so, what is that doing to the market?
Oh, there's absolutely something to do with that. So Asian nations have been buying gold central banks at a record clip over the last 2 years. And we believe this is primarily in response to the de-dollarization movement that's been afoot over the last few years since the war in the Ukraine started. And we really weaponized the dollar for the first time by putting Russia under sanctions, seizing some of their assets. You know, a lot of countries that are dependent upon the dollar said, hey, if we become politically incorrect to the United States, they can do the same thing to us, take us off the SWIFT international payment transfer system as well. So there's been a movement afoot to de-dollarize, and some of that is revolving around buying gold, we think, as potentially a backing for, you know, some kind of a BRICS nation currency, if that ever evolves. You know, the BRICS being Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and now they've added, let me try and get this right.
Iran. They've added Iran.
Iran, Egypt, Ethiopia, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates.
Those are pretty big deals right there.
Yeah, so really what you have that's most, I think this is the most important thing for your listeners to understand, is you have a couple of the world's biggest oil producers, Saudi Arabia, Iran, the United Arab Emirates, now in alignment through the BRICS organization with a couple of the largest consumers of oil, India and China. And Saudi Arabia is now taking payment for oil in other currencies than dollars.
And that didn't happen before, right?
No, it's never happened before. In fact, since 1974, Saudi Arabia established the petrodollar with Henry Kissinger in the United States, where the Saudi Arabians would sell oil only in dollars, and then they would use those dollars to buy our treasuries, which has helped to propagate the dollars, the world's reserve currency, and support our treasury market. And now that is all changing over the last year, year and a half. Now, the dollar is entrenched in the world's financial systems. It's not going away anytime soon. But this is a trend that, you know, could accelerate faster than people realize at some point in time. And gold may be a part of it. We don't know that yet, but we suspect that's the case.
So I want to plant the seed for a second, and we'll talk about it. And that is the effect of inflation on the price of gold. But I also want to ask you this question. Why would a sovereign nation buy gold when all they got to do is print money and give it to their citizens?
Because every sovereign nation is printing money and devaluing their currencies. I really think part of this is a hedge against not just, you know, a counterparty risk like a trading partner. When your trading partners are other governments and you hold their treasuries, you know, gold is a good counterparty risk to the global debt explosion that we've seen over the last 10 years, since 15 years since the great financial crisis erupted. You know, global debt's gone from $250 trillion to $370 trillion in the last 12, 14 years, and everybody's doing it. Everybody is, which is just going to devalue all our currencies.
So that's interesting. If everybody's doing it, then doesn't it, like, one against the other? Isn't it all in the same swimming pool? Like, if all the rafts are in the same swimming pool and we're filling up the pool, don't they all rise at the same level? Like, doesn't it work out that nobody really gets ahead and everything stays the same?
Yeah, until something breaks. And that's when the rubber meets the road. You know, we've seen similar problems in, was it Brazil over the last couple of years with the currency devaluation there, Argentina. Is what I'm referring to. That's what I meant to say.
I just went to visit it because of they had 140% inflation last year.
Right, their currency's just collapsed, and they've got huge inflation because of mismanagement of debt, primarily. Yep. And the new president's trying to take care of that, but that's a tough road to recover from.
Well, especially when you don't have assets to back up your currency, right? Like gold, so. How do you buy it when nobody wants to take your currency? That's the thing for me, is like, okay, great. You print money, but it's devaluing. I'm not going to sell you my gold for a devaluing currency, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, so that brings us to the inflation question that I had for you. And that isn't gold just going up because of the devaluation of the underlying currencies?
Yes, that's part of it. I do think that gold is also related. The value of an ounce of gold is related to the U.S. debt. If you go back to 2000, you know, gold has gone up about sevenfold now in price, and so has our debt. Okay. So gold has been tracking, in the big picture, gold has been tracking U.S. debt higher over the last 20, 22, 24 years. It's lumpy. But I think that's a fundamental driver. And our debt has exploded, what, $6-7 trillion in the last 2 years alone, because of what's happened with COVID and government spending. And it's not going to ease anytime soon. And we're entering into what some people are considering a debt spiral, where The interest on our debt is now $1 trillion a year, which is almost as much as military spending. And our debts, you know, both sides, the Republicans and the Democrats, they're not fiscally responsible anymore. So our debt's going to continue to go higher. And I think that's part of the reason why gold's going up. As it hedge against inflation, you know, aggregate inflation in the last 3 years is about 25%, right? If you look at food.
At least housing. You're being realistic and not telling me 3.
Pardon me?
At least you're being realistic and not telling us 3%.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, that's just the rate that it's supposedly going up now. I mean, we're in a disinflationary period, but the prices are still rising. You know, yes. I like to say, you know, a steak that cost $20 here in Austin, Texas, a year and a half ago now costs $32. And it's not going back to 20.
We're not getting deflation. I know there's Danielle DiMartino Booth talks about we're getting ready to enter this big deflationary thing. And I'm like, I don't see that. We don't have any indication that the amount of money that we're printing any countries in the world is going to be less. And that is what drives inflation and deflation. And we're adding $1 trillion every 100 days to the deficit now.
Right, right. It's
spiral.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And our debt is hockey sticking higher.
And nobody's talking about it. No, none of the candidates are talking about fiscal responsibility and cutting the budget back. It's just all about spending more and more money. Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our cash flow machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2-4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2-4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
Yeah, but the one thing that I sense is changing in my business is the public is starting to feel more concerned about it. And we're starting to see more and more debt-related stories in the financial press, finally, after this explosion over the last couple of years. So the Main Street media is starting to get it a little bit.
But isn't it too late?
Possibly. You know, I don't think our debt's going to go down unless our economy weakens. And that means we're going to lose jobs. But that actually could increase the debt because the government might, you know, stimulate again, which is very possible.
Totally what I think is going to happen because we've got election cycles now that drive spending. You know, the 2020 election cycle, 2022. Student debt forgiveness. That's just in our country. What are they doing? You know, I was in Europe a couple of years ago, and I was talking about Bitcoin because, you know, I'm a Bitcoin guy. And they were like, yeah, but I can touch the money. I can't touch the Bitcoin. And I said, yeah, but you could touch the money only because they're printing it. And he goes, what do you mean they're printing? Like, they don't even have the concept in Europe. At least we understand it because we talk about it. But there, the everyday person doesn't understand that with all those different countries, they're printing money to prop up all these economies right now.
Right, right. We're actually living modern monetary theory in real terms right now. And most people, you know, they think it's some abstract concept that may occur in the future. We're living it right now.
Yeah, yeah. All these, I don't hear much about MMT theory anymore. I heard it a couple of years ago about how this is the way to invest and blah, blah, blah. But we are living it, and it's not good, is it?
No. When you think about it, we're now about 3 generations removed from fiscal discipline when we had a gold standard.
Right.
And that's when people forget. And that's when, you know, when people forget history, that's when it really tends to repeat itself in a vicious way.
So Dana, you're the expert on gold and investing in gold. How does this all get fixed, unraveled? What is the solution here from a political and a monetary perspective, but also from a, you know, a human being perspective?
Well, I think what people need to do is to make sure that they're protecting themselves against their own government's fiscal irresponsibility. And, you know, I'm a precious metals dealer. I live it and breathe it, and I promote it. So I'm selling my own book at this point in time. But if you own some physical precious metals, gold or silver, what you do is you take some of your money out of the system that is going to become devalued in the future, and you're putting it into something that is the oldest form of currency, that has no counterparty risk, that is a bit of an inflation hedge, that is a hedge against financial uncertainty. So if something does break, you at least have a golden nest egg to rely on. And it's a good way to save money as well, if you want to take some money out of the system and just hold it in some form instead of dollars. Or, you know, I do like land. I like real estate for the same reason I like precious metals. It's a tangible asset that really nobody can take from you once you own it. And they're not making much of any, they're not making any more land except for in the South China Sea, where China's building military bases out of nothing. And they really can't get a whole lot of ground gold out of the ground very fast, or silver. So they really can't dilute the supply of it suddenly if the price surges even higher.
Right. But there will, you know, there are miners. And so the higher the price of gold, the more the miners will figure out ways to get at that gold. But you're right. It's a semi-finite supply. So that's the individual. The individual can protect themselves by hedging with gold, by using it as an inflation hedge as well, by having it as a store of value when the stuff hits the fan. But what about our world? Like, what about our governments, our economies? Where does this end?
Well, I think it ends badly, actually, with currency, you know, collapse. You know, we could go into hyperinflation. We could go into a stagflationary period where we have low employment and low economic activity and high inflation. We went through a bout of that in the 70s. We could be headed into another bout of that. And, you know, that's when owning tangible assets are really the best way to defend yourself.
So if the government is owning tangible assets like gold, and they're hoarding gold in their central banks, for example, and you hold gold in your central bank, right, then you're playing on the same side as the government. And so you should be protected. Is that the logic?
Yes. Yes. Now, remember, central bankers are among the most sophisticated bankers in the world.
Yeah.
And when some of the biggest countries in the world, their banks are buying gold at a record clip, that's got to tell you that they sense a problem with the system. And I think that is a red flag that people should really take heed to. Now, we're not doing that in the United States. It's not in this country. We don't have a gold tradition in this country like we have it in, you know, in Asia or Europe, where there's been war and currency collapse. We've been immune from that. And having the dollars of the world's reserve currency gives us what we call exorbitant privilege, right? And if we lose that status, then we're going to be subject to a lot more fluctuations in our currency than we've ever seen before. And most Americans will never be ready for that if that does happen.
And what happens when that happens? What not only happens to the individual, but what happens to the money? Like, if it breaks, does it now all of a sudden get backed by gold that we, from what I'm hearing you say, we're not buying?
Well, the U.S. government, central bank, is not buying gold.
That's what I mean.
We have a big pile of it. We have what is supposed to be the largest pile of gold at about 8,100, 8,200 tons. But I do think that China probably has accumulated more than that. They're just not saying it. Their official reserves are about 3,000 tons. You know, rumor has it that they may have 12,000, 15,000 tons. We don't know, because none of the gold that's mined in China comes out of China. It all stays in the country. And they're big importers of gold through the Shanghai Gold Exchange, you know, hundreds of tons every year.
Didn't we get rid of all of our gold a few years ago?
No, I don't think so. I think we still have it. Well, you know, at one point in time in the 50s, we had 20,000 tons of gold backing the dollar. We're down to about 8,200, 8,300 tons now, which has been a static number since we went off the gold dollar peg in 1971. You know, we haven't shed any that we know of.
What's the potential for another, I think, what, 1612 U.S. government confiscation of gold or any kind of precious metal? Well,
I think it's actually very low. When we recalled the gold in 1933 because of economic trouble at the time, we had the Wall Street crash of 29 and then the Great Depression of the early 30s. Franklin Roosevelt called the gold in because he wanted to print more money. And it was hard to print more gold, but he could print more paper. And by taking the gold out of the currency, that's how he solved the problem. But gold back then was a choice people had between a $20 gold piece in their hand or a $20 bill, paper bill in their hand. Now, we don't have that choice today. Gold isn't money anymore, right? Our currency, gold still is money. It's the world's oldest form and safest trusted form of money, but it's not currency anymore. They're two different things.
Yeah.
Oil can be considered money, but it's not easy to trade between you and me in daily transactions. So I think of the U.S., maybe 2 to 5% of the public actually holds gold today physically. So if we get into a situation where the government thinks they want to confiscate that, you know, gold will be about number 20 on the list of other things that they'll have to deal with first. And the U.S. government's in the business of making ounces of gold today for bullion. Now,
sure.
They make 1 ounce gold eagles and gold buffaloes, which are the two choices if you want to own gold from the United States Mint.
So then the other side is if they're going to restore faith in the dollar, let's say we do have or are headed toward a collapse, because I don't think it'll happen overnight. We won't wake up one day and the dollar will be worthless.
No.
But we're seeing it becoming more and more worthless now as we think the value of our homes are going up. You know, from $235,000 in 2018 to $460,000 or whatever it is now. We increased the value of our home. It's still the same home. It's actually a little older now, right? It's got a roof and some walls and probably some older air conditioner units, but it's still the same home. The denominator has declined in value. So will they rescue the dollar by pegging it to gold and maybe a set of assets like gold?
Potentially, but I don't think any country can back a currency with gold today, because if they try and do that fully, they'll drive the gold price to $10,000 or $20,000 per ounce very quickly. I think the only real way for us to restore some faith in our system is to just have a lower increase in spending relative to our tax rate. We have to lower the amount of deficits that we're creating or go positive. I mean, the last time we had a balanced budget was in 2000, when we actually took in a little bit more taxes than we took in, than we spent. And that's when the gold price hit a multi-year low at $250 an ounce for that very reason, because we had sound finances. And I remember in the late 90s, you know, when Bill Clinton was president, he literally nickeled and dimed the budget every year, slashing a little of this, a little of that, to nickel and dime the spending down year after year. He was really good about that. Most people don't think of him as that great of a president, but that's one thing he did that got our finances in order, because he knew it would help the country.
Interesting.
And it worked. And we've since then, you know, all bets are off.
it sure seems to me like it's really late to be able to try to cut our spending and curtail our habits. And now we have to pay all this huge amounts of money on debt. And that price of debt has gone up in the last year and a half as well. I just don't see an end. Well, that's very good.
Yeah, the only solution is really to slash, you know, on the entitlement programs and to go really into an austerity phase that's going to last for years to really try and get things back into balance.
Yeah.
And I don't think we have the political will to come anywhere close to that.
I don't either.
Yeah.
All right. So people can do something for themselves by hoarding a little bit of gold, grabbing some for part of your portfolio. Obviously, don't go all in, back up the truck, but it sure seems like a sound a piece of money that you can have, you know, when the stuff hits the fan. How can people get a hold of you, and what can they do to learn a bit more about not just gold, but what it is you do, Daniel?
Well, our company is American Gold Exchange. We are a national physical precious metals mail order business out of Austin, Texas. I also deal in a lot of the vintage older gold coins that were currency back in pre-1933. I'm an expert in those. Our website is www.amergold.com. It's an information-rich site. We focus on bread and butter products that are easy to sell anywhere in the country or the world. We don't deal in a lot of esoteric stuff. Mainstream products, widely traded and very competitively priced. We want to try and help people in this arena, and we want to have people come back and do business with us. So we're just really simple, straightforward business.
I love it. Dana Samuelson, thank you so much for your time, your wisdom, and helping people realize that there is more to money than those greenbacks, and that they do need to protect themselves because the world is changing, and it's changing faster and faster. So thanks again for being here. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure for me too. And remember, everybody who's listening, watching, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. See you next time. Take care.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.